How you do? How you doing, honey?
I am so happy if you just signed on to my podcast. If you just subscribed, thank you so much for coming. If you've been listening for the last couple weeks that I've been having my podcast, thank you, fam. If you didn't already know, my podcast is all about learning so that you can love yourself more. I always say own you before they do. What I mean by that is owning your truths, owning your flaws, owning whatever it is about you before someone else calls you out on it so that you can own your power and evolve through it. I heard about this profession and I'm not gonna lie, I judged it because I was like, that sounds weird. But then when I divorced and was sleeping alone in my cold bed, I realized how important it was. And I am talking about the profession of being a cuddler. That giggle was coming from my cuddler, Christina. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
So Christina, my bona fide cuddler, I have so many questions to ask you, but first I want to thank you so much for coming onto my show to explain to me what cuddling is about as a profession.
Yeah, thank you.
And I have to admit, I was judgmental because
What were your judgments?
Thank you for asking. I just think that if you're cuddling without knowing the person, that it's not a real cuddle. But then, like I said, in those lonely nights, sometimes I felt like, oh, I wish I had something to hold. So I ended up getting a little stuffed animal. His name is Gong. He's a blue bunny. Costs too much at Barney's, but here he is in my bed. And I'm stuck to him because he costs too much, but he also cuddles me.
Yeah.
And now that I'm in a relationship, I appreciate what cuddling is about. So I want to ask you, what is a cuddler?
Yeah. Okay, well, my brain went like three different ways, and I wanted to respond to what you were just saying about being alone in your bed and like, can it be authentic, or, you know, why would I ask this person I don't have a relationship with?
Yeah.
But in my mind, we are a facilitator that holds space for someone to have the touch they want, to practice communicating boundaries, to practice asking for what they want, to learn what they like with their body in touch. Yeah, so it's sort of this larger tent under like this really cute word, cuddling, right? And it also is someone that maybe you aren't intimate with, where you can trust that I'm going to hold that space for you, right?
Because you're a professional.
Right.
We're not breaking
boundaries. Right. I'm not going to ask for something from you. So in some ways it's like, you know, like a talk therapy, it's touch therapy. And you're saying, hey, like, this is a safe space for you to come in and have your needs met. And also almost like a meditation for a whole hour or however long you need to be there. And I have to say, like, I go to cuddle groups, like, where I'm just...
There's groups?
Oh, yes. Yes, there's wonderful groups. And that's almost more like... I came to see it more like a party. It's a gathering. I mean, the word cuddle party was actually trademarked by Reed Mahalko.
Oh, girl, that sounds like some Molly and the lights off. That sounds crazy.
There's definitely those types of parties.
Sure.
These are no drugs, no alcohol.
Okay. So the boundaries are set, so it's professional.
Yeah, and then you kind of, you know, people go, oh my God, I don't want to go to this group. Like, how am I going to manage if I don't want to be touched by someone? So the opening circle is all about, hey, this is the container that we're setting. These are the rules, and this is how we're going to communicate. We're going to do role-playing exercises to communicate, and we're all agreeing that if someone says, I feel complete right now, you don't have to explain yourself. You just go, oh, thanks, I'm complete. Like, thank you for holding hands with me. I'm done.
Uh-huh.
Right? I think a lot of us have fear or discomfort or are not practiced in that in everyday life, right? Like, how often are you in a situation where you're like, I really want to, like, leave? Like, how do I tell this person? Or
all day, all the time.
Right. Like,
almost everybody.
Anything. Yeah, it can be anything. Like, you know, you're at a party and you're ready to go, but you don't want to be rude, right? This whole idea of, like, Irish goodbyes.
Like, me.
So, yeah. So, I mean, we've all been there. And so these workshops are literally saying, like, we're going to practice confronting, like, looking at you in the eye, like, I'm looking at you in the eyes right now and being like, thank you so much. I feel complete. I'm leaving now.
That was like the best breakup statement of life. Thank you for that experience. I'm good now. Leaving.
Yeah, I'm complete.
Okay.
Or however you want to say it. But. And then my favorite part that I think is misunderstood sometimes is we encourage the people who are receiving a no, like, or a no thank you, or I'm done, or whatever, to actually celebrate the person who's saying no. Like, if I say no, then you'd be like, thank you so much for having great boundaries. Thank you for respecting yourself. Thank you for letting me know that you're done. And the best way I can explain it is, I think some people go, that's so weird. It feels unnatural. I feel like I'm lying. But when you think of it, like, how do I how do I process that energy that I just received? Now I'm sitting with a no, right? And like, that's scary. Or
right,
you're afraid
of
rejection.
It feels like a rejection.
Yeah, you're imagining I'm rejected.
We're all afraid of.
Yeah, and so then you're just like, oh. So then you're afraid to even ask because you don't want to be rejected. But in fact, when you practice going, wow, thank you for telling me how you really feel, all of a sudden you get to like channel that energy back to them, but with like a positive charge. And then you actually feel really good because you just got to praise someone or like
yes.
create positive. You know what I'm saying? Like it. Yeah. And it frees you from feeling like punched in the stomach.
Right. Right. Yeah. See, Christina, this is why I wanted to have you on. Because
Yay.
First of all, I want to have an open mind about anything therapeutic for other people.
Yeah.
And maybe even myself as I, you know, go through different stages in my life and I might need it. And I have no idea that something like this exists. Or for other people who judge a profession like this. And not only to mention, you just taught me so many things in just that statement of what a professional cuddler is that we need to not be apologetic about. Or we may need to better ourselves at, which is being okay to walk out of a situation or to say we're all right to step away from whatever it is that we engaged in.
Yeah.
Also to set boundaries even within intimate levels.
Yeah. Boundaries. I love the word container. It's like, hey, what's the container we're in right
yeah,
now? What are your expectations?
I always say the number one secret to life is to manage expectations. All your relationships, think about your work relationships, your dating relationships, your family relationships
yeah.
would be so much better if we know what we're expecting from it so that nobody gets misled.
Yeah, and what the other person's expecting too, to just ask them. And I think I love, like, when I hear the phrase manage expectations, I think a lot of us have learned it in the sense of, I need to contain myself or
yeah.
hold myself back. When you say manage, and in fact, I like the literal idea of like manage it, mm-hmm. address it, connect with it. What are your expectations?
Pick and choose what's going to be existing in that for this relationship.
Yeah.
Tell me, how did you become a cuddler? And
yeah,
break
we'll
down
start
to me how a cuddling job.
Yeah, sure.
Progresses.
Okay, if I get off track, guide me back.
Okay.
I actually had a podcast about sexuality and intimacy and relationships, and it was called TNA Talk Sex. It came out of like a really dramatic breakup that I had. I was with someone for 5 years, and by the end, I thought, wow, that was a train wreck, like that I didn't see coming. This can't be the best that relationships can be. This can't be normal or like... I was like, it has to be better.
Yeah.
It has to be a
yeah.
better way. And I obviously don't have the tools. So I launched into this show and I would bring in like people who knew more than I did. And then I saw a video about cuddling. And I said, at the time, I was actually doing a lot of stand-up comedy and I was doing the show. And so I was like talking all the time. I was like talking at people.
Mm.
And I was like, I really want to put skin in the game.
Like connect on a deeper level.
And one-on-one, yeah. And like really like have an impact in a way that I could feel.
Okay.
And when these people came on my show, I found some people who were doing it. Actually, Jean Franzblau, who does Cuddle Sanctuary, and she does group events. They're every week here in Venice Beach in LA. But when they came on the show, everything they said like struck a really deep chord with me. And my family, my mother is actually Colombian, and my father is American, and growing up, there was such a strong contrast between the families. Like at Christmas, you know, my mother's family would hug and you know, almost too much, right? Grabbing your hair and pinching your butt, and, you know, the arms
yeah.
and the cheeks. And anyway, and my father, it was the pat on the back. And I would, you know, and so I'd go from one house of like a storm of touch to like nothing.
Okay.
And so I just... My whole life, I can chart moments. Like in high school, I'd tell my friends, I go, wow, like nobody touches enough. Nobody touches enough.
Mm, that's interesting because I connect to that on an Asian culture level. Like Asian cultures, oh my God, you go in for the hug and you almost body slam their chest because there's no arms attached. So
that's
you're
hilarious.
Like, oh, there's no hug here because it's weird to them. Not, I don't want to say them as in every Asian, but in my family, like they're not used to hugging. So I understand that because now I'm a very touchy-feely person. And when I hug, I'm like, use both arms.
Yeah.
I tell my dad that.
That's amazing. Do you feel like that's American, like that you touch more because you grew up here or?
I don't know. I think that just Vietnamese, or for my family, they're more about acts of service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the five love languages.
Yes.
They're more acts of service than they are physical touch. Read the book, by the way, if you haven't.
That's
It's Amazing
so good.
By Gary Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the goal of the five love languages, all of the love languages, is to be rehearsed in all five so that you can exchange those languages with people who might be more efficient in one than the other.
Yeah.
So for you to know the art of communication, you realize that touch needed to be in there. And then later on down the line, you'd probably want to adopt in some of the other ones
right.
in order to be a more communicative person on the whole. Yeah. So this led you to cuddling.
Yes. So then I got certified and I started doing it.
Certified?
Yes.
Who's certifying and where's the certificate?
Yes. Well, a company called Cuddlist, Madeline Guanazzo runs it. And she has a really great program. And I tell people, it's like, you know, people get excited and they go, what? You're getting paid to cuddle? And I say, well, it's a little more. Everything I just described, you know.
But you have to really stand up for that because I was one of those people because it sounds creepy. Christina, it really does.
Well, okay.
In the beginning.
Sure.
It sounds like.
In some ways, I like to say like intentional touch therapist or like healing touch therapist.
Why does that sound so much better all of a sudden?
Because it's a little more familiar.
Yes.
Like technical jargon in a way. And
it's because most people, I think, like me, which is my fam, thank you for listening, we're kind of dirty minded. So yeah. My dirty mind goes into cuddling. Yeah, slide the pioneers to the side.
Well, but by the way, that's exactly like what drives American culture and where we're allowed to have touch and how we're allowed to have touch. So most people assume like in order to have touch, I have to have a sexual relationship. Or I'm lonely and single, I'm going to jump into this relationship because this person's meeting my touch needs. Well, you might not actually be a match at all, but you're so drunk on the touch that like you're not even thinking, you know, you're not actually, am I getting what I need outside of this?
That's such a true point, which is why I think we are slipping from the art of intimacy.
Yeah.
That intimacy can be an amazing mental connection or just a great cuddle session. It doesn't always have to be intercourse.
Well, with great friends.
Yeah.
I mean, so one of my favorite things for the women listening, around like our menstrual cycles, I think there's also a stereotype that we should, you know, pop some pills, you know,
push through.
Yeah. Or, you know, the heat pad, all this stuff. I'm going to go to the room by myself. I don't want to be touched. I have found that through this cuddle therapy, you know, there's ways of touching a woman that releases a lot of the pain. And, you know, one day I had a really painful cycle and I was I was in Joshua Tree with my friend and I was sort of like moaning in the bathroom and she's like, oh, my God, like, can I do something? Is there anything you can do? I was like, yes, please like rub my head. I need you to touch me. And she ran her hands like up my spine and then held the base of the head and kind of was like stroking me. And I also like purged a lot of emotional thoughts, right? My mind was racing and it was like nonsensical stuff. Like I literally started saying like, I love my dad and mom so much. And I was like having all these thoughts and feelings and I cried and the pain went away. It was gone. I was healed.
Because somewhere she, through those touches, she placed you in that container so you felt safe to open up.
Yeah.
Which now that you mention it, it's actually no different than a massage therapist, because I love going to massage, not really because I'm sore, but because I like the touch and the ease in certain places.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel relaxed afterwards. So a cuddle session could be like that.
Yeah, I think it's actually, I say it's a sibling of massage.
Okay.
And I've also, it's funny, I love massage and forever I always went to it. And now that I found cuddling, I don't really go get massages. because I find with cuddling, I end up with this sort of full body oxytocin release. So oxytocin's like the opposite of cortisol. I describe it as like cortisol closes the door, oxytocin opens it.
Yep.
But what do I want to say about it? It's good for your immunity, all these different things that are positive.
Sure. Okay, wait.
But, go ahead.
No, tell me what you're going to say, and then I'm going to ask you a question.
So I found that, in fact, a lot of us think that we have to kind of knead flesh if there's some part of it that has like a knot.
Tension, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I have tension, I need to push on it. It's also known that if your hand rests on that spot for 30 seconds, the muscle starts to relax. So there's this, and this is something that I teach in my workshop. So I do like an intentional healing touch workshop that is more about curiosity and like curiosity about the other person's body that you're touching and breathing and feeling. And like if you're enjoying it, the person receiving it's enjoying it. So it's less about, I don't have a degree in massage. How do I make this person, how do I help, you know, how do I
target,
how do I do this to this person? And I'm saying it's less about doing anything. It's more about being present, about holding space, breathing.
I was just going to say, the keyword you just said is something I'm studying right now, is the art of mindfulness.
Yeah.
Which if you guys think I should do a podcast about this, please let me know, because I've learned there's so much power in being present mm-hmm. and actually feeling and existing in that moment of what's happening, whether it's your feelings and really embracing the pain through it, or just the joy you're having in sitting down for lunch to yourself and that quality time to nourish yourself and rest instead of be on your phone and stress about a problem as you're eating when that should be replenishing. So cuddling could actually be rewarding because you allow yourself to feel and the touch to penetrate those areas of hurt.
Yeah. Ooh, I love what you just said about touch that penetrates what hurts.
Right.
Because I also, I guess you're talking about literally if your arm is sore or tired, but also emotional pain and other things that you're carrying in your body.
Yes.
Basically our emotions, when we don't express it fully or we decide to internalize something or keep it to ourselves, imagine it immediately goes into like a muscle or a tendon or whatever is in your body. It just tucks away like a little pocket. It's like inside.
I get it.
And so when we touch or we hold, memories can be released. Just emotional processing can occur. It's permission and a safe space to do
that. It's kind of like the basic exercise when it comes to breathing or with massage. They tell you to inhale whatever it is that you would like to have more in your life, positivity, positive thoughts, love, great energy, and then exhale the exhausting burdens that we have mentally.
Yeah.
And so when you can do that with just your breath mentally, which I've learned to do, you can do that with massage because they tell you to breathe when they release the tension.
And feel it.
And with cuddle, you can do that too. Okay, so now that we've learned the science and the reason why Christina is a professional cuddler, I want to get into some of these job experiences after this break. Hang on, fam. Welcome back, fam. I wanted you to get back here right away because I have so many questions for Christina, my cuddler. First thing I want to ask Christina, what type of person needs a cuddler?
Yeah, everyone.
Huh?
Everyone.
Break down the...
Okay, I'll say there's some people that seem to be touch averse, although even there we have kind of a formula for that, which would be what we call stargazing, and you don't even have to touch shoulders. You just lay next to someone looking up at the sky.
I love doing that. That's considered cuddling?
Yes, because you're still being present with the person and you're creating a space where you're saying, let's be present with each other.
Wait, so cuddling doesn't necessarily mean spooning skin to skin, holding tight in a bed. Cuddling can mean lying together on a grassy knoll, watching the stars.
Yeah.
It can, holding a hand.
Yeah. It can mean whatever my client needs to
connect. In your
profession. Yeah. And one of the ways that when someone comes into a session, we say that. We're like, what is it that you most want right now? What feels really great?
How do you know what you want, though? Like,
well,
I would imagine
always.
If I walked into a cuddler's office, I'd be like, oh, no, this shit sounds weird.
Yeah, right. No, and a lot of people, when it's their first time, they are there. So I'll offer suggestions. But to break it down, I'd say there's a range of people who anywhere from dealing with deep traumas. I've had war veterans who are dealing with PTSD.
Whoa, wait. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So necessary for the veterans who feel isolated or sometimes ignored or forgotten.
Yep, all of that, and even just literal stress in the body and mind. And then that's sort of a more, I don't want to qualify. So that to someone who's maybe dealing with a divorce or a separation. You mentioned.
I'm just kidding. That would have been me last year.
You have the tailspin moment where you're like, I don't know what's going on. I'm isolated. It goes from it's like hot to cold and you're still trying to piece it together, right?
That
so here's
me.
This space to kind of ease back into
your needs and hearing yourself and not feeling so disconnected from your thoughts because of the situation that's happening to you.
Yes, you said that so well.
I'm smoking what you're rolling. Continue.
Thanks. All the way to what I like to call like cuddle bugs, which I think I fall into, which is I have really high touch needs. I had a partner that I, lived with, and he traveled a lot for work, and it wasn't enough. I was like, if you're gone for 2 weeks, I was like, I'm gonna end up like, I don't even know. I was like, I'm out on the street, like staring at men walking by drooling. Like, I'm basically like, who will touch me? I don't know. Anyone else out there?
Why do I hear people answering? Yeah, yes. My thoughts out there. Hello.
Yeah. And this is a way to have my touch needs met. Like I.
So you're saying anybody. So you're saying if you feel lonely or you have stress that you don't know how to connect with or ease.
Yeah.
If you feel like you're in a tailspin of losing control, life is hitting you at different angles, you don't know how to reconnect with yourself, you need some therapeutic connection and attention, cuddling might be for you.
Ooh, great. Yeah.
Okay, this is podcast two, but I'm just going to throw the question out there because my mind thinks with my mouth.
Yeah.
Is cuddling considered cheating? Think about it. Right. It's a very emotional, intimate thing that your man or woman should be providing, but we can get to that in another podcast.
I know. Oh,
wait, you have an answer.
You're right. No, yes, because I have some clients who I think because like you're saying, it sounds like you're like, I was weirded out the first time, right? Mm-hmm. So there's still a taboo around it. I'm very much on this like fringe of like changing culture. And we are people who want to change culture, right? Like I'm saying, hey, touch needs aren't being met. And I believe that they can occur outside of romantic bonds. And in fact, that we'd be healthier if it did.
Say that again for the people in the back one more time.
It can occur, touch can occur outside of romantic bonds, out of romantic relationships.
Christina, I don't know. You had me up until that one. That was a hard one for me to connect to because I think that it's a very slippery slope where somebody could connect more with a cuddler and not with their romantic partner. And that could be dangerous because their romantic partner, even if they're not good at it, should learn your needs to provide
that. I agree, which is why I offer workshops with couples.
That's what I was going to say. Include them.
Yes.
Include them. Yes. Do not isolate them. Include them so that you're going to learn today on how to touch me so I don't have to go to this person.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
So tell me, let's break down a job experience. First of all, what are the boundaries and the rules?
Right.
To cuddling.
We can create our rules and agreements, but basic ones are, so you're going to come in and I'll say, so, you know, what's happening in your life right now? What is it that made you want to do this? Right. So then I get an understanding of where you are emotionally. I like to start with 3 deep breaths. You know,
I love deep breaths.
Ground in. Yeah. Yes. And then I kind of have a little spiel that we go through, which is.
You get to know them.
Yeah. Well, in basic literal boundaries, I say, you know, we're going to no touching for me where a bikini would be as a woman.
Okay.
I'm a female cuddler.
This is important to know, Christina. So you have boundaries on your limitations of your touch areas.
Absolutely.
So bikini area means obviously groin and breastises.
Yeah. And I could have more boundaries than that, right?
Yeah, because girl, you touch me behind the ear and funny things happen. So
right, so
I'm
great.
Gonna need some.
Yeah, so great. You would say, and no touching my ears.
Okay, got it.
And so I'll say that, and I say no kissing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, I sometimes there will be a moment where someone's like, "Can I kiss your forehead?" Like there's like affection. I'm like, actually, no.
Okay, no. I like this.
Yeah.
So pretty woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had one person who I love actually touching hands and really taking the time to like pay attention to the details.
Yes.
And I have one client, we do like hand dancing. It's for like a half an hour. You're just sort of in this like, you know, meditation. It's a meditation of like paying attention to the details. And I had one client who said, that's way too intimate for me. And I only do that with romantic partners.
Right.
And I said, great. We don't have to touch hands. Thank you for telling me.
Yes. Thank you for telling me. I appreciate you setting a boundary for me so that I don't make you feel uncomfortable in this process.
Yes. So we also make the agreement that that we are going to commit to expressing what we need and what we want and if there's something we don't want, right? So let's agree that that you can trust that I'm going to express myself and you can trust that I'm going to set a boundary if something doesn't feel right for me.
Of course, I
tell them that as well, right? So I'm letting you know that you don't have to be uncomfortable as a client because I'm going to communicate if you cross a boundary for me.
You're blowing my mind right now because I actually think that your process of cuddling should be exposed more so that people understand the boundaries of consent and the boundaries within a relationship that you should have in order to grow more intimately.
Right.
Like
yeah,
it's really interesting. This is really cool. I mean, this is for any couple to learn.
Completely.
Wow. Okay. So boundaries are set. Yeah. Can you describe?
Well, and then I say, what are your boundaries?
Oh, and then what are mine? Okay, yeah. Got it.
And then you could say, don't touch my ears. Yeah. It's like, great. Because actually, I love to do this one thing where I put my fingers in your ears.
But of course, I love when my Thai masseuse does that, when they put their fingers in the ears and they kind of like pop and then it feels so good. Or they touch the earlobes.
Yeah, you have all these nerve endings. Yeah.
And I would be like, no fingers in the ears, no behind the ears, and no fingers in the pussy hole. I'm good. Everywhere else, I'll consider. No, I'm just kidding. I understand.
Then I also explain that I will, for both of us, I would like that we ask before we touch a new place, right? So if I say, can I touch your arms? And then also describe it, right? So, and I teach this too, right? There's a range. Do you like soft touch, like stroking? Do you want like a firm massage? Can I rest my hand on your arm? Can I, maybe that's it. I don't know. So there's different ones.
Okay.
And I say, can I stroke your arm?
So you're letting them know, like a really good dentist, what is about to happen so that there's no shock and they don't think you're getting fresh.
Right.
And they ease themselves with the expectation of what it is and maybe even be present so that they learn how that's helping themselves.
Well, and they also learn maybe they don't like that much. Mm-hmm. It sounds like, let's try it. And they go, ooh, actually, it's really ticklish. I don't like it.
Okay.
Also, I think in that moment of that boundary setting of what kind of touch do you like, there, that's where that person starts thinking about what they like. And just what you said, like by coming to a session with me, you're taking the time to learn what you like, learn what you want, learn what you need.
And this then is really,
you're
wow.
able to, yeah, you're able to share.
The reason why I'm relating to this is because when I was a kid, when I was a young thought, I honestly thought about bases, first base, second base, third base.
That's what we're taught.
Yeah. You just think, okay, you nail down the pec. Then you get to a hickey.
Right.
Then you want to be able to touch or stroke somewhere. Then you got to be really good at it.
Yeah. Something that's come up for me from doing this touch work, because it's also changed my, I want to say it's changed my physiology. It's changed my mindset. It's shifted everything in the way that I connect and relate. And maybe about a year into doing this work, I went on a date and this man went to kiss me, kind of like a classic date, like we were walking down the street after dinner, and it was nice. And I leaned back. I said, "Oh!" And he goes, "Oh my God, you don't like me? I'm so embarrassed. I'm sorry." And then I said, "No. I I said I'm enjoying myself. I said I don't like to be kissed on the lips right away." And then he made a joke. He goes, "Oh, I have to Pepe Le Pew you." And I said, "Yeah,
yeah."
And then he kissed my hand, and I went, "Thank you. That was really nice."
That's so crazy, because on my first date, I actually shared how excited I was that he didn't try to kiss me.
Yeah.
And men sometimes think, oh, that's what we want, or that's what they think to go for, to or tell you I like you.
I need you to know that I'm in,
But no, we're actually like, mess with my mind.
Yeah, I'm like, I think of it like a big spiral, like start way out here and then spiral in.
Oh, that's good. I like
really
that.
Really slow, yeah. And I think of, so, kind of as you were touching on like the sexual stuff.
Sure.
The intention when I do cuddle sessions is not to be sexual, right? It's actually to move away from it and to kind of gain just sensory awareness and maybe even process trauma, this kind of, so we're there. But for sure, this is groundwork level that will improve your sex life because it's the way that you're connecting and you're able to experience things more deeply and you're able to give more deeply.
If you had an extracurricular course when I was in junior high and I was learning this instead of baking a fucking pie or making these stuffed pillows. I have like three stuffed pillows in the shape of a sundae.
Well, that sounds
great. I
don't
know, a banana and some other things that I took for extracurricular, credit.
Yeah.
I would have taken this because I would have learned the art of intimacy, and I'm 40 now learning that.
Right. All of us. I mean, I went on that journey too, right? Like it's like where I started was actually with anxiety around touch. My father ended up with my father ended up raising me and my siblings, and I was separated from my mother for many years in my childhood, like age 7 to 12.
Right.
And I remember going on a date, like 16 and whatever, our friends went out and this guy held my hand and I had a panic attack.
Right.
I was in the back of the car and I wanted him to hold my hand. I wanted to connect and I didn't know how. And it was, and I remember thinking, don't pull your hand away. Like, you'll look like a freak. And I just sat there breathing through it. So afraid. Yeah. And so, and not only that, but anytime anyone would try to be sexual, I'd end up like elbowing them accidentally and just a complete, panic.
Yeah, I understand.
And comedically and whatever. But,
yeah.
And now I'm just calmer and know what I want and know how to express it. And maybe I'm not ready. And instead of like elbowing the person, I can say like, wow, I love that you want to connect. And maybe we can hold hands or, you know, eye gaze, but we don't need to like slobber make out right away.
You touched on a word that I've been talking about a lot in my podcast, which is trauma and recognizing trauma. And the biggest lesson I learned is that trauma doesn't have to be something super serious like a car accident or an earthquake. It can actually be something someone said to you that just stuck with you. One person telling you you're not worth anything, one boyfriend, one teacher.
I had a revelation a month ago. I was on like a camping trip with a boyfriend, someone I had been dating, and it was really like a little moment. Like I made a joke in front of everyone, and I think it probably upset him. So he kind of like almost instinctively and probably from his own trauma made this kind of mean retort that everyone was like, oh, that was awkward. And I like dismissed it. I was like, okay, that's fine. I didn't bring it up again. And it sat with me. And then by the end of the week, I actually exploded. I got really angry.
Right.
And it was like, oh, that was an example of, I think, just what you said, the word trauma people think has to be a big deal. It means that you were in Afghanistan and had some sort of trauma. But learning to like stuff our emotions in is learned in your childhood. And learning to dismiss or disrespect your own emotions is learned. And so I'm in my 30s and I'm doing what I learned when I was 10.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, okay, like let's pull that, you know, clown scarf out. Like, you know, the long trail.
Yes, yes.
Like, oops, I need to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Because if I had just addressed it right in that moment, it wouldn't have turned into a larger trauma problem.
Yo, fam, sense? I wonder if you relate to that. What Christina just said, I really do when it comes to if you don't process your trauma or work through it, the habits you did at that time that traumatized you or froze you will actually surface back if it happens to you as an adult because you haven't learned to address it and to heal through it.
Right.
So you do the same thing. For a lot, it's kind of flight or fight.
Yeah.
You freeze. For me, it's like sitting there like seething and then in the shower coming up with all these things I should have said, but I didn't because in the moment I just was like, that didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
yeah, that didn't happen. Yeah.
Because I'm on TV, so I just think to be happy and be nice. But no, you have to set boundaries for yourself,
right,
which is why I like the practice of cuddling
because
it does that. So how does cuddling help people with trauma disorder or with traumatic situations or issues? How do you use cuddling to help that? And how did they help themselves without you?
Okay, that was like a big one.
I know, I'm good at questions.
One, it teaches you to trust your body, to connect with it more, to increase your sensitivity to your body and feel your nervous system. We've been taught to really stop feeling our nervous system. But in fact, the more aware of it you are, the sooner you can identify when you're feeling triggered. I mean, we often say that, right? But awakening that moment of trauma. So it brings self-awareness in your body in a very literal, like, this is my body and this is what I'm feeling. Like, oh, I'm holding my breath right now and I'm feeling a knot in my stomach, maybe because I'm feeling stressed and I'm not naming something.
Right.
So there's that literal way. The other way that it helps with trauma is that when I touch a certain part of you, that helps raise that awareness. You might not realize that you're holding something in your body that happened a while back. So I've said it a couple times, raising awareness. Then I would say that the breath work and the silence and the meditation, or it can be talk therapy too, depending on your needs, allows you to name it and process it right there with me if that's what you need.
Which goes back to my saying, own you before they do.
Oh, I loved that. Everything you said there,
that's been my anthem to life, which is when you own your truth. Like for me, I had to come out at 40 owning a childhood situation that happened to me. But when I got that power back, I was able to communicate that with my future relationships and friendships and my boundaries with anybody who presses me, because that triggered a lot of things that I turned into becoming a people pleaser and things like that.
Yeah.
So you have to own that. But you,
well,
in
then
your
how
touch,
do you own it? You have to know it first.
You have to know it.
And in order to know it, how do you kind of what you said, how do you get to know it?
Yes.
Well, you create time and space and maybe have a facilitator who has some experience around it to help guide you through it.
And once you know it, you have to do whatever it is to work your way through it so that it becomes your power, not your pain.
Yeah.
Even if it means touch therapy.
Yeah.
Okay. So
well, for me, that's sort of like somatic is a word that people use. There's like somatic trainings, but it's to know the motion through your body.
Okay. So I just want to hear, last question. Tell me your favorite cuddling experience where you were able to help somebody.
Yeah.
Or if it was funny, that was, you know, a breakthrough for you or them or whatever. And then how do we get in touch with you?
Yeah.
So tell me that.
Okay. Like a number of cuddle sessions come up that were just so beautiful for me.
Really?
Yeah. And just eye-opening for myself, like to see the impact that I had on them and also the trust that they're putting in me and this whole amazing exchange. Yeah, I mean,
Oh my God, you're so emo over this, Christina.
Yeah. I've seen so many different life experiences expressed to me that it's that I feel like I'm cheating by only naming one.
Okay, I get it. So people open up and divulge their truths or stories or pains to you, and that makes you feel honored because you felt like you were released to that.
Yeah,
and they had a container with you that felt safe for them to be able to do so.
Yeah. So
wow.
I'll share two. One. Okay. One. Is actually someone who's a first responder.
Okay.
Who does, basically like an EMT worker.
EMT
so he's
work,
seeing
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
And he comes in and I'll hold his eyes. I apply pressure and we breathe together. Usually in, I guess, the mama bear pose. So he's leaning against me and I'm holding his eyes. And often he cries. I'm like, I'm gonna
cry
right now.
Oh my God, right I'm going to get him on myself. Like, no, I understand because he's seen so much of life and death. And it's all just numbers to him, and it's got to be just a...
He's holding it there in the
yeah.
eyes. It's literally the visual medium, right? He's absorbing it through
sure.
his eyes. And often I actually... This is like a superpower that started developing from doing touch work, but I get downloads of information, basically. Like, I'll know a little bit of what he's seen.
For
or
sure.
I'll know... What,
You'll
you
feel
know.
It.
Yeah. And so he has this incredible release, and we don't really even talk much in that moment. He just... He lets it out. Okay, so that
it's
one
beautiful.
Is so beautiful.
Okay.
Yes, and he's someone where I'm like, yeah, he's hard cortisol all the time.
Yeah,
so this is like the perfect thing for him.
Yeah,
and then I have a client who, this was a beautiful moment for me. He had PTSD, war trauma, this kind of stuff from being a veteran, and. Not so much even that being the issue. We had this beautiful moment where he felt really alienated from his family. And then he ended up calling me, or maybe he wrote me a letter, and he said, you know, I realized that I wasn't connecting with my family. Like, I wasn't inviting them. I wasn't calling them. And that I actually had the power to do it. I had the power to build the relationship
yeah.
that I was missing in my life. And like, wow, like to hear him say that he had that revelation through our time together.
That might heal his relationships for moving forward in his life and with his family.
Yeah. Well, and that he had more control than he was giving himself permission to
sure.
have. So that's back to what you said, your statement in the beginning about,
yeah.
you know, knowing
before
yes.
they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got you.
And so those maybe are some of my favorites.
Beautiful, Christina.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So tell us how
right.
to get a hold of you. For anybody out there. Don't be too big. Don't be too proud. If
yeah.
you need to just get to know yourself better, maybe learn to unveil some of the areas that you struggle in with intimacy, or maybe learn more new things about being intimate so it's not always just about sex, or to touch into those areas in your past that you've been troubled with, maybe traumatized with, through touch and healing.
I like to be reached out to for cuddling through cuddlist.com.
Okay.
It's CUDDLIST, cuddlist.com/Christina with a CH. That's me. You can find me on social media, on Instagram. If you write me, I'll just get you to, you know, you can, I'll process you through the right way. But
sure.
Instagram is Cree Hepburn. It's C-H-R-I Hepburn, H-E-P-B-U-R-N. Do I need to spell it? Anyway.
No, that's perfect.
Yeah. And I mean, you can Google me. Like if I come up, you could just email, whatever the source is, I'll get back to you about it.
I love it.
Yeah, and then we can talk about what your needs are. And actually, I think some people are maybe go, well, what, I just ask for a session. I'll then send you a form and you're able to just fill out one or two questions like, you know, why am I seeking this?
That's so helpful.
Yeah.
Christina,
yeah.
You're amazing.
Thank you.
I hope everybody in my fam learned something here about themselves when it comes to the art of intimacy or how to heal yourself more and to understand better the profession of cuddling. I, my friend, apologize for judging you. I get it now. Bitch, you about to blow up.
Yes.
Glow up and blow up. Oh my God, Christina, thank you so much for helping us understand better and love each other better and ourselves better. My fam, I hope that helped you like it helped me. Please do comment about this podcast. Did it help you? What did you learn? Reach out to Christina. Let me know, too, if you do and how that worked out for you. Make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Let me know what you think and tell your friends about it. Hanai.